It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy sh! It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
Good evening, everybody. You are listening or watching Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than pooping with someone next to you. You could join our chat room, the Den Pen. Go to davincomedy.com, click live broadcast. Also, you can join the one on the Davin's Den page on Facebook. Audio is better on Davin Comedy. Video is exclusive to Facebook because we haven't put it on the website yet, and why would we? I am your host, Davin Rosenblatt. I am joined by Joe Curry. Hello, Joe. All right, never mind. He said he was there. That was a lie. And hello, Pip.
Hi, everybody.
Did Joe not say the phone was there and he was by the phone?
No, he said that he had a couple things that he had to do and he'd be with us in 5 minutes, but that's probably like 3 minutes ago.
All right. On the show, in School of Fools, Wisconsin school districts are being sued because children got COVID after the schools did not follow CDC protocols. The government wants to take a closer look at your bank account if you have more than $600 in it. And Scam Busters will update you on a scam and scammer we used to talk about all the time. A Rolling Stone say hold the brown sugar, and in fart stories will tell you what celebrity likes to poop with a mate. And also scamming scammers, and where do fake Davin and scam Michelle go now that she's told him about military romance scams? Where will those kids go? Oh, boy. Oh, man, I have to do something on the break. I could do it on the break.
Poop with your loved one?
I will poop with my loved one. That is a lovely thing. What a weird thing. Well, we have time to get to that. We will get to that later. But, yeah, I have to check out.
Excellent.
I'll check out a poll. So I guess we will jump right in with it. We have a lot to cover tonight. I guess we will jump right into it. So the ongoing house story.
Oh, yeah. What's going on?
Well, so remember I told you I was not sure if I was under contract, but I thought I might be under contract?
Yes.
Yeah. So we'll pick it up there. So last Monday was Columbus Day, so the attorney was out of the office. Tuesday, she was also out of the office, although nobody discovered anything on that day, but she was all out of the office that day. Now, our real
estate... Because everybody takes a four-day Columbus Day weekend.
She does. I mean, whatever.
A lot of sheets to buy.
A lot of sheets to buy?
Yeah. You know, they have Columbus Day sales.
Oh. Thought you were like, because... All right. Okay. Fine.
Nope.
Yeah. So our real estate agent had told us we were under contract. So we wanted to talk to our attorney and get the contract so we could lock in our loan rate and do whatever comes next, you know. Yeah, the seller's like, oh, we want to get under contract right away. Boom, fine, no problem. We'll move quick. We're ready to get this going,
yeah,
too. So we're emailing and calling our attorney and no response. It's like, they have people for this, and they're not responding either. It's very annoying.
Yeah.
So finally she calls us back on Friday. Well, she says we're not under contract. But our real estate agent had said we are under contract.
I don't like this.
Why would you? Why would things go easy? So the seller will not fix the two cords on two broken windows. Remember I told you there was two cords on two broken windows?
Yeah.
That, like, hold the windows to go up and down? Not to pull them up and down, but they hold the window in place. So two windows have one are only half corded, and they are. She already agreed to fix another window because it doesn't close properly. So the window people are going to be there. So they won't agree to fix the other two windows, which is kind of ridiculous. Whatever.
That's petty.
It is very petty. Whatever. The other thing is, our attorney put in a rider in our contract because we wrote them a $20,000 check. Put down a rider in our contract that if my wife loses her job and the mortgage company won't give us a loan, we get our $20,000 back.
Okay.
Right? It's fairly standard.
That's being awfully cautious because you know your wife's not losing her job.
No. Well, I mean, anything's possible. But no, I feel pretty confident. And we've already gone through me being out of work. And, we're basically getting the house on my wife's job and our credit. Because at the time I was unemployed. I'm working now, but at the time I was unemployed. Right. So, and their attorney's like, well, it goes to our attorney. Well, $20,000 isn't a lot of money. What? What's that, Attorney Rockefeller? What are you talking about? $20,000 isn't a lot of money.
$20,000 isn't a lot of money? Oh, the things I would do for $20,000.
If $20,000 isn't a lot of money, why are you being such a prick about it? So,
good point.
But, okay. Well, and our attorney's like, but it is a lot. So we counter with, if this scenario happens where the wife loses the job and we can't secure a loan, we'll give you $5,000, which is still a lot of money, but whatever.
Yeah.
It's been off the market. And if they don't accept the $5,000, we're walking because, okay. So we give our lawyer the permission to extend that offer. In the meantime, my wife talks to a real estate agent. And she's like, I don't know anything about this. And the seller's real estate agent doesn't know anything about this either. And according to her, the seller doesn't know anything about this.
Wait, so that means your realtor is making this shit up?
No, our lawyer.
Your lawyer is making this shit up.
Right, their lawyer is making their lawyer and our lawyer are having conversations that the real estate agents are unawares of. And apparently,
really don't like this.
And apparently,
they can't do that. The real estate agents need to be privy with that.
Well,
God, is that you?
No, it's Joe. It's the other side.
The other white meat.
Our real estate agent goes to my wife, goes, don't make that offer. Don't offer that. I didn't know this, so I'm talking to the attorney, and she calls me up. The attorney says, they've accepted the offer.
Oh, crap!
And I'm talking to her, and my wife walks in, and she's talking to the real estate agent. So we put them both on speakerphone. Oh, modern technology. And the real estate agent's like, I don't know anything about this. And our lawyers were like, well, this is the lawyer said. Well, these two lawyers have worked together a bunch of times. I think this is some fakakta lawyer bullshit. Like, I understand he wants to protect his client. I get that. But it doesn't seem like this was ever the seller's idea and the seller was ever being a hard ass. This seems like the lawyer did it without consulting the seller.
Oh. Wow.
So
power of attorney.
But remember, her real estate agent doesn't know anything about this, and the real estate agent's claiming she doesn't know anything about this.
Oh my God.
So
this is nuts.
This is nuts. So finally we're like, you know what? Fine. Put the $5,000 provision in there. Don't fix the two friggin' windows, whatever. Again, we're not worried about my wife losing the job, whatever. $5,000, still a lot of money, whatever. It's not worth walking away from. The $20,000 was see it. Even though, again, she's not. I don't think she's going to lose her job. So that was like Friday afternoon at 3:30. So we want to get this contract. We still do not have a signed contract. Our lawyer, we called our we emailed our lawyer today. We still have not heard from our lawyer. So what we are going to say tomorrow, we are going to say, if you do not sign this contract, we are going to take off money from the offer because this is going to cost us thousands of dollars because interest rates are going up. We need to get that contract so we can lock in, and interest rates are creeping up. I mean, over the summer, they were 2.67. Several weeks ago, it was 2.87. Now it's around 3. And it costs you. It costs money. I don't want to go. I don't want to go into 3.25, which it could. So that's what we're going to say. We're going to call again tomorrow and say, if you don't sign this damn contract, you are in such a hurry to get under contract, we're going to take money from our offer. And I think that's fair.
I think so, too. It's going to end up costing you the more they drag their feet. And why are they dragging their feet?
Well, from what we understand, the seller is not very tech savvy. So supposedly, like, she has to go into the lawyer's office every time to sign paperwork. But again, not my problem. We got that home inspection weeks ago, and they wouldn't let us have a roofer come on the house, come to look at the roof, until we were under contract. We've been trying to get this.
Let me ask you a question. If you get the letter of credit, or when you get the loan approval to go shopping, is there a date that the letter of approval is expiring?
The pre-approval letter, yeah, we've already had to re-up that a few times. But now we want to lock in. What?
Where's the pre-approval letter expiration now?
Oh, I don't know. I'm not worried about the pre-approval. We got two banks or mortgage servicers that are chomping at the bit. We're trying to figure out which one we're going to go with. But we need a signed contract in order to do that. Because if you lock in, say they give you 45 days, which is standard. Well, the way this is going, if it goes past the 45 days, they could charge you fees and everything. So we don't want to lock in ahead of time. So it's just a thing. I mean, according to our attorney, we should still probably close mid-November Thanksgiving, which is fine. I want to close before Thanksgiving because there's a lot of shit I got to buy, and I want to get the Black Friday and Cyber Monday sales. I got to buy a TV. I got to buy furniture. I got to buy mattress. I got to buy all sorts of shit. And everything that we're going to buy, it's going to take months to get here because we all know about the supply chain issues, which really, it's not a surprise when you have a pandemic and factories shut down and things aren't getting made and people aren't going to work. It's really not a surprise. I know how people, and I don't want to get into the whole thing, I know how people want to blame politicians for this, but first of all, we don't have the infrastructure for this. We don't have the infrastructure service people. We don't have the manpower, and there's not enough goods. It's very frustrating. I understand that. But it's not like you could go, oh, this is the Democrats' fault, or if it was the Republicans, this is the Republicans' fault. No! It's a global pandemic, stupid. This is what happens. And unless you live in Amish country, and you happen to know Zebekiah, and you're just getting Amish-made furniture, and he doesn't have a back order, shit's gonna take a while. So I know even when I order this stuff, I'm not gonna see it for months, which is fine. I just wanna get the ball rolling. I just wanna get this shit done. All right.
You might want to call Zebekiah.
I might have to call Zebekiah, but the Amish are not cheap, my friend.
No, they are very frugal in their own things, but they know the value of their workmanship.
And
so
I have no I have no problem with that. But that's what I'm saying. Like this is bullshit. This is Biden. Blah, blah, blah. What do you want him to do? Do you want him to swim into the Pacific? Shut up, Joe. Do you want him to swim to the Pacific and put them on his back like he's Aquaman and swim them to shore and deliver it to your house? I mean, there's only so much you could do. There's no truck drivers. We were losing truck drivers for years anyway because it's a hard job and the pay isn't really necessarily worth it. That's with a lot of American jobs. And now people just want to do different things. That's what the pandemic said. Everybody's like, oh, fuck, I don't want to do the job I had. I want to learn a new trade. All right, that's where we are.
Yeah, it's like now that I've been home for a while and I had time to think about it, that really does suck, and they don't pay me enough for it.
Right, yeah. All right, it's kind of an interesting place we're in right now. But, I mean, it's just the default, and I've talked about this before. I used to be this with gas. When W. Bush, who I did not like, was president, I was driving all around the country doing comedy, and gas was going through the roof. And I used to say, that motherfucker, George W. Bush, what do you expect? He's an oil guy. That's why we invaded Iraq. I hated George W. Bush for many reasons, but gas prices was one of them. And then I educated myself. And it's like, oh, you know what? The presidents really can't do that much about it when it's low and when it's high. They really don't have that much sway over this shit. There's things they can do on the edges, which they, you know, most of them try to do. You know, they release the National Reserve, the Emergency Reserve. But, I mean, the refineries aren't controlled by the U.S. government. Refineries are controlled by private companies, and they go offline, they break, or a storm comes, they shut down, and demand was really low, so because nobody was going anywhere for 2 years, so they adjusted for that, and now demand is high because people are flying and traveling again. I mean, people, I know it sucks, but people, they gotta be patient, unfortunately. All right.
Yeah.
That's it. But it does suck, and I do understand the pain, and I do know what happens to be a Democrat in the office right now. But when they say, "Oh, we're not energy independent," yes, we are. But there's demand all over the place. That's what it is. So when we're selling gas, it's just a whole fucking thing. It's too complicated for this show, but it's not as simple as many people think. Okay, now on to a dilemma where you guys might be able to impart some wisdom. Although we still don't see Joe. We see the name Joe, but we don't see Joe.
Yeah, I'm working on it.
I know. Well, I know. Monkeys are putting up your internet right now. Joe's high speed is off the coast of California right now in a large container. That's where Joe's high speed is. We're trying to get it to Joe.
I'm just sitting here being concerned that you expect us to impart wisdom.
Well, it's nothing life-changing. All right.
Okay, good.
So say there was this friend of yours who had a child who smelled really bad. You can't say anything to the kid. And the kid's not a child. The kid's a teen. But whatever. It's not a five-year-old. Kid's a teen. You can't say anything to the kid. But do you say something to the parent?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
No hesitation.
None.
What do you say?
Because you take the parent aside and you say, look, this is really delicate, and I really had to think hard about having this conversation with you, but I think it's important for your child. I've noticed on several occasions that when your child comes over, or when we go on,
and by the way, Pip,
the car,
by the way, Pip, Pip, this is an everyday thing. This isn't once in a while. This is an everyday thing.
Okay, so you would say that I have noticed that when I'm in the vicinity of your child,
mm-hmm.
in the car, when they come over, whatever it is, mm-hmm. that your child has body odor, and I don't mean to embarrass you, and I certainly don't mean to embarrass your child, but if I'm noticing it, the other kids will notice it, and that's the kind of thing that gets kids bullied. Now, sometimes kids aren't aware of this because hormonal changes make changes in the way that we, perspire. And
oh, yeah, when you're a preteen and a teen, you stink. The hormones are going crazy.
Yeah, but it's
you know, the hormones are
what?
Not necessarily because.
Well, no, but people take showers.
You need deodorant.
Yeah, it's more of a deodorant thing. I mean, because
you need deodorant, and a lot of people maybe they don't notice it. They're because they're nose blind, like the commercial says. But you have to say, and I'm really sorry to bring this up with you. I really don't want to embarrass you, but if I'm smelling it, the other kids will smell it, and your kid is going to start getting bullied if you don't take some approach with deodorant, whatever personal grooming, you have to take your kid aside and deal with this. And that's all I'm going to say about it to you. Ball's in your court, and I'm sorry we had to have this conversation. But I care about you, and I care about your child, and I want the best for them.
Well, that's very mature. That's very mature. There's no way I have the balls for that conversation. But that's very mature.
Well, give me their number. I'll tell them.
Your kid stinks.
Yeah, you because, you know,
You know, it's a teen, Joe. It's a teen.
Guy or girl?
Man, come on, man. What do you think?
No. We don't.
I'm guessing a girl?
We don't want to have this kid.
I'm not outing anybody, but yeah. The problem is the problem is the body odor, not what's in between the legs.
Let me just tell you this. The McKenna family. I am 56 years old, and I know the name of the stinky kids in my school.
And you just outed them. 40 years
old. Nobody knows where I went to school.
Believe me, there's a friend that we know, that if he sits next to you, he'll singe your nostril hairs off. You know, I mean, just awful.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying that this whole family of kids, and because they were on my brother's paper route, I know the whole house smelled like that. So whatever was going on in there, I could not identify the smell. I just knew it when I smelled it, and I knew there was a mechanic coming up.
Whatever was going on in there certainly wasn't hygiene.
I don't know what it was. To this day, I can't go, I've smelled it since, and that was what that was. I don't know what it was, but it was bad, and they got teased something fierce because they smelled. You can't let your kids smell. You can't.
No, it's just a hard conversation to have. I'm inclined to agree. I'm assuming this kid showers, and maybe this kid is using some natural Fugazi deodorant. But sometimes you have to put on the secret. You know, you gotta pay the corporate America. You gotta pay big deodorant.
You better get some dial-in on. Yep, or Irish Spring or something like that.
Yeah, you know, there's a comedian, the one that's called Fluffy?
Gabriel Iglesias.
Yeah, he does a whole routine about his stepson smelling bad and how he had to, like, make him use deodorant. The kid was just he was just smelling bad, and so he was leaving deodorant all over the house, and he was like, you gotta hit it. You smell. You gotta hit it. And, I mean, he was making it funny, but it's the truth. For whatever reason, if they, like, are being, like, resistant, I mean, you know, it's tumultuous. It's really emotional when kids are going through body changes. And the whole idea that it's like, oh, my God, I'm growing up, so I smell. Maybe some of them just don't want to address it, but it's like, as the adult, as the parent,
why do we have to address it? Where are the parents? I mean, so,
like I said, maybe they're nose blind. They can't smell it coming off of their kid.
Well, according to a good source I have, it's impossible to be nose blind to this.
People also don't talk to their kids about sex, and that's another thing that the kids need to know. If it's uncomfortable, some parents back away from their parental duties. They're like, this is uncomfortable, I don't want to deal, and they don't do it.
I would tell
women up and do it.
No, I would tell my daughter if she stunk. Now, my daughter is fastidiously clean. You know,
you're not one of those parents that back away from the hard conversation with your own kid.
Well, it'd be hard to have her in the house if she was stinking. What, do I got to open up all the windows? What's wrong with you? Come on. But I don't have to worry about that with my daughter. Thankfully, you know, she does not stink as well. I don't stink either. I mean, I remember in the seventh grade or so, I started using deodorant. And I remember the teenage years, but as far as being an adult, I mean, I can get to stink, but the default is not stink. I'm not one of these people that sweats and then instantly stinks. And I also do put on deodorant if I'm going out. If I'm staying in the house, or even today, because I thought you were coming over, I threw on deodorant. But I don't smell anything. I smell good. But all right. So you think the conversation has to be?
I tell you, Saturday, the comedians of the compound thing got pushed to Sunday. So I was, you know, I didn't take a shower or anything. I was just a mangy piece of shit all day long.
Yeah, but you were wallowing in your own filth. There was nobody there but yourself.
Yeah, I wouldn't suggest anybody else to. Yeah, but, you know, it's the only time I do it.
But I'll tell you what, I don't like going.
I have to go out because I had to do all my Sunday stuff Saturday afternoon, so I was out in the public. But I was going to take a shower. I was going to take a shower and stuff like that, and I'm like, you know what, fuck it, I'm already dressed. I'm going out.
Nah.
People can smell me.
I can't go more than a day without a shower. I feel dirty. But all right, so you think the conversation has to be had. I can tell you I don't think it will be had because this is not me having to have the conversation. This is my other half having to have the conversation. So
and
I don't.
You don't think that she could do it?
It hasn't happened thus far. and this has been on the show prep for weeks.
Oh, dear. Oh, boy. You know. I'll call her. I can walk her through it.
All right, that's fine. You could call her.
Why don't you play the? Why don't you make sure she plays the "You Stink" stinger?
Why does it keep on saying "You stink"?
You stink.
I think the station's broken. It just keeps on playing the same thing.
Oh my god! How about we could do it like Cyrano de Bergerac. She could be on the phone and I could be whispering to her, now say this.
Yeah. Well, also, there is a health issue going on with one of the parents right now that my wife would talk. So it's like, it's complicated. They already got stuff going on. So
It's delicate.
Let's be happy that I'm not the one exposed to it. Because if I was exposed to it, I might have to play Joe Stinger. So I'm not the one.
I just don't want you attacking the problem the same way you did the day that my feet stank.
No,
that was brutal.
No, that was the proper way. Because I'll tell you, your feet have not stunk in my presence since then. That was the absolute proper way to handle things.
Was it when we were all together, or when we started Zooming?
No, we were together.
No, it was when we were all together.
You might not have been here yet. You might have been in transit.
I remember those nights because I would walk in and go, "You're so fucking lucky. You're so fucking lucky you got here when you did."
I said that really?
Yeah, I think I remember that.
Well, listen.
And then I think he explained it. Yeah.
Listen. If you're gonna take off your shoes in somebody else's house, you better be confident. Your hygiene better be on point. If you're gonna, because it's a very familiar thing to do, and I have no problem with you guys doing that in my house. I have no issue with that. But if you're gonna stink and I gotta sit here for 3 hours, I'm gonna call you out on it. That's just the way it is.
My feet were particularly smelly that day.
Yeah,
it was a very sweaty foot day.
Yeah. Yeah, well, so you say I did not handle it right. I absolutely handled it right because we have not had that, and that was several years ago. So, but you are not a child. The damage is already inflicted. It runs through your blood. You are as damaged as can be right now. We're talking about a child here, so it's a little different. But yeah,
no.
And let me tell you something. If I walked into your house, God forbid, like that might ever happen. But if I ever walked into your house. Say I came back from playing softball. You would be well within your rights to go, "You stink!" You'd be well within your rights.
You have to go back out to the lawn.
That's fine. Go out on the lawn with the shit that you bought from the last garage sale. Eventually we'll make it into the house. It's fine. All right.
It's a delicate conversation, but I think it needs to be had.
All right, well, I will. You know what? Maybe I will let you talk to the wife. Although she would be mortified I brought this up on the air, but I think I was very vague about everything.
You were very vague.
Yes. So, all right. Let's move on now. So tomorrow night, I was supposed to go see Sebastian Bach, formerly of Skid Row, and it was advertised as the Slave to the Grind 30th Anniversary Tour. So I saw him a few years ago, and it was like the 25th anniversary. It was advertised as the 25th anniversary of the Skid Row debut tour, their first album. And Sebastian Bach played the whole first album. And some other stuff too, but he played the whole first album. It was an excellent show. Enjoyed it very much. So I bought the tickets. It's advertised as the 30th anniversary of Slave to the Grind. So I bought the tickets thinking he's going to play the whole Slave to the Grind album. Wouldn't you think that?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's what, yeah.
But he did not. So, well, first of all, the show got canceled up here. So I'm guessing they didn't sell enough tickets.
Oh, really? Got canceled?
Yeah, it got canceled a couple of weeks ago. So I'm guessing they didn't sell enough tickets. He was in New York City on the 15th, but he was supposed to be doing an outside show here, which I was looking forward to. But I'm guessing just they didn't have the ticket sales to make it worthwhile. But I'm seeing like people. But I went on his Facebook page, and everybody is saying how great the show is, but they're also saying that he didn't do the whole Slave to the Grind album. And, like, the set list isn't the whole Slave to the Grind album. There's only a couple of Slave to the Grind songs on there. I would feel ripped off.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the album that made him, actually, you know, made those guys.
Well, no, the first album was widely popular. Because of the first album, they got to number one with the second album. But the second album was heavier. Those two albums are very good. The second album probably holds up better now, but that first album was a mega hit when it came out.
Did that have Youth Gone Wild on it?
That was the first album.
Oh, okay. All right, I stand corrected then. Yeah.
Slave to the Grind had Monkey Business. What?
Yeah, Slave to the Grind had Monkey Business on it. Right?
Yep, Quicksand Jesus. Yeah, you know, obviously the title track "Slave to the Grind." It's a much heavier album, but it's great. I didn't like it when it came out. I had it when it came out. It's too heavy. But now, as I've gotten older, I can appreciate it now. I like the heavier stuff, so I can appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, no, it was good. It was good. Yeah.
But anyway, so you would feel ripped off.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Did it's the anniversary of the album. Did they do every track or the? I'm sorry. How many tracks did they do?
From the set list, it looks like, you know, two to four, something like that. I don't have the set list in front of me, but not a lot. But you got to remember, he was just around a couple of years ago, and he did the whole first album, and like the promotion for this tour is the Slave to the Grind cover art, which I think his father made actually. So and it's promoted as the Slave to the Grind 30th anniversary tour. So. If you've been to the first shows last year or 2 years ago, you would be reasonable to think he's going to do the same thing with the new one.
If you're doing an hour and a half, 2 hour show, at least 45 minutes should be dead, and you're pushing the album. You know that thing. At least 45 minutes should be that album.
I saw somewhere, and I haven't seen it. I haven't seen the concert, obviously, but I saw somewhere he's only doing 65 minutes.
Really?
That's not enough.
Total.
Yeah, that's not enough. But it's 13 songs.
What they'll do is they'll get a bunch of local bands to come in and pay to play and stuff like that. I mean, we were supposed to do one at Poughkeepsie with The Last in Line, and we turned it down because the deal's soft and this, that, and the other thing.
So no, he's not doing that. He's not doing that. He's got an opening band with him. He did that on the last one, too. Had an opening band that's with him for a lot of the tour, if not the whole tour. He's not doing...
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's selling tickets. He didn't sell it up here where I live, but he's selling tickets in other places and casinos and whatnot. But all right, so we agreed this is some bullshit, and you would feel ripped off.
Yeah, absolutely. It would be like, you know, how the Who has sometimes said, oh, we're going to do all of Tommy.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, if they were advertising, you know, Tommy posters and the anniversary of Tommy, blah, 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 and they did three songs, I'd be like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
I'd be very annoyed.
Like he said in 82 that this was their last tour, and I waited in front of Titus Oaks like a fucking lummox for 6 hours to get tickets to see him at Shea Stadium, little dots running around. Talk about won't get fooled again.
Yeah, but that's different. That's different. I mean, I understand why you feel like you got taken, but they have they have the right to go out there. Motley Crue wasn't supposed to be touring, and we've had tickets for them for 3 years. It'll happen eventually.
Yeah, and who knows if they're going to be back because stupid Vince Neil fell off the stage last night.
I know. Supposedly he actually sounded good, too. So, he must have really hit the high note as he was falling.
Yeah, thank God he's got all that blubber to cushion the fall.
No, he's got broken ribs.
Oh!
Yeah, I know, but still, yeah.
All right, so let's move on to my other music thing, and then we'll take a break. Cause so this is about Aerosmith. So I want your guys' opinion on this. It's described as a historic early recording. This is a new release. In the rehearsal room, 1971, The Road Starts Here promises never-before-heard renditions of some of the group's earliest material recorded in an intimate setting, just the band, crew, and friends captured on Joe Perry's tape recorder. The release includes several songs which would eventually appear on Aerosmith's 1973 debut album, including Dream On, Mama Kin, Moving Out, and Walking the Dog. Okay, sounds pretty cool. So what they're doing with this, it's part of a. I'll read the next thing. Only 10,000 vinyl copies and 2,000 cassette copies of the 1971 "The Road Starts Here" will be released as Record Store Day first titles. A note on the Record Store Day site clarifies that these types of releases are found first in indie record stores, but may be released to other retailers or web stores at some point in the future. Now, it is important to note they just have a new distribution deal with Universal. I think that's who it is. They just signed with Universal. So we're going to see a lot of shit coming out from Aerosmith. We're going to see a lot of reissues and everything. But I got to tell you, I think it's a little lame. I mean, like, if you happen to get one of those, it's pretty cool. But they got way more fans than that. So,
it's a gimmick. Really?
They're gonna have CDs and downloads. They're doing this as a gimmick. All bands do this.
I've never heard this before.
To get some traction under it, but obviously there'll be a certain point when they're gonna have that you'll be able to download it, or you could go to a store and get a CD or something like that.
You think so? I think so.
I think so too. I mean, especially with the way the internet is these days, somebody's going to put it on there and stuff, you know, and put it on there and be able to get it, you know. So,
well, I don't know how you upload a track from a cassette, Joe. Actually, I do know how you upload a track from a cassette. Never mind, it can be done.
Yeah,
it can be done.
Can be done.
But like, I'm thinking, should I go to like a record? Because we have a local independent record store in town. Should I go to it and pick up a copy? See if I can get the cassette.
If you want it, yeah.
If you're that big enough of a fan, yeah, why not?
Well, I mean, I think I've established my Aerosmith bona fides.
And I also still have a cassette player, so it's like that will work hand in hand.
I mean, I have the cassette. Yeah, I do have the cassette player, but I'm more of a cassette guy than a record guy. I mean, the records I had were like children's records. By the time I was like ready to listen to, you know, pop music, rock music, whatever you want to call it, cassettes were the thing. But
yeah, well, you know, the thing with the records, it's a cool thing to release it on a record. And I don't know if I always thought the fidelity of a CD was a lot better than a record. And then we were at Tiki recording the Fragile Sky Project, and the engineer, his name escapes me, very good guy, recorded a lot of famous people. Schooled my ass on that. It was a whole dissertation he had, why. And I'm like, wow. So, you know, the LP has got more, you know, more fidelity on it. But you got to go find a record player and a needle and all this stuff. You know, I would just wait. It's a publicity stunt. Obviously, it's going to be out for download eventually.
I don't want the download. I would actually buy the cassette, but I really can't see spending like $20 for a cassette. I mean, I don't know how much they would charge for it, but I can't see it being like a $5 cassette. I mean, I would.
No.
I'm also old school, too. I mean, you know, and it's like Eddie Trunk says the same thing from that metal show. I'd rather have, you know, downloading is okay, but I'd rather have a physical product with the liner notes, with all that stuff. Something physical you could have, you know, which is always cool. You know, I mean,
I like having something to look at.
Yeah, well, we're old.
The place behind me was all my CDs. It's nice to have, you know, having my CD player. Is a little bit above that, you know. I still play stuff off my iPod, which is actually ancient as well. But I still play stuff off of that, you know. And sometimes, you know, I'll put the CD player on if the battery's low. But I like a physical thing to have. But an LP and a cassette. Look, they're trying to make money, but especially with Universal. Universal's going to sit there and go, it's only going to be on an LP and a cassette, only to a handful of people. They're out to make money. This is a publicity stunt. It's going to be available on CD and for download probably soon after.
So you think I should just hold on until it comes out? relax?
If you're enough of a fan where you like to have something as a souvenir or a tchotchke, I would get it. If you're the person that's like, look, I know it's a publicity stunt, you know, it's going to come out, you know, and it's probably be all over the internet anyway, I would wait.
Well, I don't want to download it. I want to buy a CD. I don't know if it'll come out on CD. CD's kind of a dead media right now.
But still, you're gonna, you know, you're gonna have it on a cassette and you know, an LP, you know.
I just thought the numbers were very odd. 10,000 and 2,000. I'm like, really? That's not a lot.
Yeah. And believe
that's
me,
very small.
And they just signed to Universal. You think Universal's going to sit there and go, yeah, that's enough. We're going to do. You know, that's all. We'll
yeah, do. I think that's the thing. Because they're going to reissue everything too, which I don't need that. I don't need the reissues. And like, there's digital reissues now too. I don't need it. I got the CDs. I'm very happy with that.
Well, it's like with Genesis. I mean, Genesis has a new CD package to go with the tour, and I got all that stuff. I don't need to get it, you know. But I, you know, I'm going to get the shirt and stuff like that. I might even pull an asshole move because I'm going to UBS, the new UBS stadium or arena on December 10th. But there's shows that Sunday and Saturday that I might go. I don't know if I'm going to because I got Santa Claus stuff. But, you know, I would like to see, because this is it. I mean, Phil Collins is doing an okay job, but he's not touring anymore after this. You know,
yeah.
So I want to see these guys left. And also with the internet, there's so much amazing stuff, like old concerts that I've been checking out. It's really good, you know?
Yeah.
Well, it's not the same. I don't know if I'm going to see Aerosmith again. That might, you know, when I saw it with Pip and Mr. Helix and my wife in Vegas, that could, theoretically, that could be it. I mean, half the guys, not half, some of the guys don't want to tour anymore. And if they're making all this money with the Universal contract, they might not have to tour anymore.
They might have to, because, you know, downloads and sales, you make your money touring. They'll probably do another residency again.
Well, if they do another residency, I can't say I wouldn't go. I might go. Hey, Pip shaking her head no. She might go.
You know what? I had so much fun in Vegas. If he did another residency, I may consider it.
Well, you were a fucking fool not to go the first time. We had a great time.
My whole thing was, you know, I really wasn't in Vegas like I was this past, like last month. It's just that you know, I like, well, just to go for that, I could see him at, you know,
completely different. Now listen, Pip and I have seen Steven Tyler in an even smaller venue. It is definitely different when you see him in small venues than when you see him in arenas than when you see him on outside shows. Seen him in all those different things. If you could see a big band that you really like in a small venue and you can afford it, you definitely should do it. It's a different feel.
The Cult in a small, you know, when they were big, they used to go out as Soft White Underbelly, and me, Aunt, and Joe Cumi, we'd go out and see those guys. You know, go to the bar. I mean, a local bar, a place where my band's fucking playing. You know, and they're playing there, so it used to be cool.
All right, let's take our first break. When we come back, we will do some School of Fools. We'll start with parents suing when their kids get COVID. A lot of interesting things to talk about. A whole bunch of topics on the second part of the show. But right now, we did a lot of music talk. We'll do some more later on. Right now, we have new music from Padjo Dolan with Hazel Eyes. And you can learn more about Padjo Dolan at Fluttertone.com. And we also have Glassy with Never Stop Believing. And you can learn more about Glassy at KHB-music.com.